turns me on.
It's the strangest thing, even with the Beatles. You thought, okay, we've made a big album, let's say like Revolver or something. So now we know how to make albums. This is going to be easy. You go back and you make the next one, and you go, how did we do this? You know, and you've really got to get up to speed again and stuff. I always used to play the last album just to see where we were up to, you know. But it is different every time, and it's You know, I just realise every time, I don't know how to do this. But I'm glad. I wouldn't want to know how to do it, you know? And this time, the challenge was to do something good. I actually said to myself, I'm going to make a good album. And normally you say, I hope I'll make a good one, or I'd like to make a good one. I just actually really put my foot in it this time to myself and said, I'm going to make a really good album. I knew there was some prospect of me going out on tour. I thought, I'm going to go out with a really good album that I'm very pleased with. So I met up with Nigel and he agreed that's sort of what he wanted to do.
Bye.
releasing isn't my favourite bit. It's you letting your baby go. And making it is, that's great, you know, the whole creative process. Releasing it's a bit more difficult. You've got to sort of think about promoting it and doing this, that and the other, and it's not necessarily what you got into it for. And also then you're letting it go and people have all these opinions that you don't necessarily agree with. You know, someone just said to me the other day, one of these tracks, this is about this, so-and-so, isn't it? I went, no. It's like, oh dear, this is going to start happening now. But I've enjoyed making the album, and the idea of releasing it is great because people will get it. My people will get it, you know, but all the chat that goes on outside it, you know, that's not my favourite bit.
Thanks a lot. How you doing, all right?
Okay, laddies.
I never really think about what I want people to get from a record, because that's very difficult. You start to want them to give you things they're not going to give you. So a long time ago, I just learned, make it something that I like, and then people put their own interpretations on it, and that's fine by me. But as long as I like it, that's the main thing. And I like this one.
Better moment than this one.
listen to stuff all the time, you know, but it's not necessarily with a view to informing what I'm going to do. Some of it does, you just can't help it, you know. If I was listening to people like Neil Young and stuff, then I might be thinking, oh yeah, I'd like to do an acoustic track. But that's as far as it goes, really. I don't think I want it to be Canadian and Neil-ish, you know. It would just be a vague ballpark or something. But I listen to a lot of stuff, and it's all so varied that you couldn't make an album with that as your influence. What kind of magic will be worked if we can stay calm? Couldn't I have given you a better life? Did I ever touch you on the cheek? Say that you were grand. Thank you for the smile. Did I ever door and try to get inside? If I never did it, I was only waiting for a better moment that didn't come. There never could be a better moment than this one. Nothing. You'd be sitting here, pick up your guitar, and then after an hour or two, you've got a song. That, and some people, if it works, some people are going to go, I love that one, or whatever, you know. And it's like, wow, yes, it's like baking a great cake or something, you know. I've no idea where it comes from. Yeah, it comes from my love of music. I think that's the starting point. I was talking to Keith Richards not so long ago, and he was saying, we started off listening to music. None of this writing it and singing it. So all we used to do is listen to it. And he's very right, you know. Then we started playing it and singing it, and then eventually writing it. Well, I think it comes from this love of listening to what you think is great music. It just gets a beautiful sort of feeling going in you. Everyone who loves music, you know, feels that feeling, and that's what's special about it. And it's kind of mystical. Why do these combinations of vibrations, why do they affect us so much? How can they really affect our emotions? I mean, I can't hear God Only Knows without welling up. You know, it's just one of those songs for me. It's just so special, you know, and it's something to do with the words, it's something to do with the chord changes, something to do with the record. But it's mystical, you know. So I love that. I really love that about what I do. And when people say, why do you still do it, man? You know, aren't you jaded? Aren't you fed up? I go, no. You know, sometimes I wish I was. I could go on holiday. But I love it. I really love it. I'm really looking forward to going on tour, America.
Because then you get the feedback from your audience, you know, as well as all the stuff. But yeah, I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it works. And I think a lot of people, if you talk to them about how they make their music, there's a kind of mystical element in it, which I think is great. I mean, how lucky to be in a job where there's that kind of element, you know, rather than just boring, very mundane. And I do feel it's hugely lucky, you know. It has changed, yeah. I listen to old records and my voice is different. But the funny thing is, you know, when I come to do some of those old songs live, I still do them in the same key. I mean, when I did Live 8, someone said, you know, just Helter Skelter still in the same key. I said, yeah. You know, I have a very sort of innocent way of thinking about singing. Because a lot of people don't and will talk about ways to sing and from your diaphragm. It must, I think I kind of do that naturally, I think, the diaphragm bit. So I think that is true. But I have a very sort of simple view of singing. It's like, just do it. Don't think about it too much and just sort of... So I just get on with it. And it's always been like that. I remember doing recording, I think it was Kansas City with the Beatles. And I was... Because it's like, you've got to get out of this person who's talking quite sensibly. And you've got to go, well, and you've got to like go somewhere, you know. And I always used to say, it comes out the top of your head, you know. And we're talking to John about it. We talk, he said, man. I said, I don't know, it just comes out the top of my head. And I remember I was having trouble with it. Kansas City. And I couldn't let go, you know. And he came down in Abbey Road and he sort of said, comes out the top of your head, right? So, thank you. Well, and then, you know, did that. So that's all I know. Sort of, it's stupid stuff like that comes out the top of your head, which I'm sure isn't true. But, you know, that's enough for me. And I went up to my old school, which is now a performing arts centre in Liverpool, Lipper, school I have a lot to do with. I was helping some of the kids there, some of the songwriting kids. And we were in the vocal room and they had a big chart up there showing what goes on here, like the larynx and all the names for it. And I said, I think you better get that down. I said, because if I knew all of that went on in there, there's so much to go wrong. I mean, I just think of this as just like a tube and it goes out the top of your head, you know. So what was the original question about, does my voice change? Yeah, I think so. Just with maturity, I think it must change. But this stuff's still in the same key, and I still think the same way about doing it. You sort of just get up and you just do it. And it's stood me in good stead many a year.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Feed me when I'm 64. Every Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight, if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee, Vera, Chuck and Dave. Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Or will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
My kids did say, Dad, you have got to disappear off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
But I said, or be in the thick of it.
Yeah. Well, and because 64 seemed like old then, I'm sure.
It seemed very old then, yeah. But I met a lady on holiday who said, I hope you don't mind. She said, but I play one of your songs. She said, I work in an old people's home. And she said, and I play when I'm 64. She said, but I hope you don't mind. I've had to adapt the lyrics to when I'm 84, because they all think 64's young.
Right, right.
So I think that's a good idea. I might be doing that.
You should. Re-release it.
Re-release it. When I'm 84.
Make it 104. We're going to live longer, they say.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. The last of you.